turn around. You completely turn away from your old life. I didn't quite do that when I became a believer. There were some things that I thought were still okay. And it took me quite some time to find out that, well, they weren't. Some are unwilling to leave their non-Christian lifestyle. Of course, we would have to define what that is. What is a non-Christian lifestyle? And some people have grown up in an environment that was quite legalistic. Now that you're a Christian, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. So we don't want to discuss that, but there are certain rules along the way that are clearly laid out in Scripture, and some people just don't want to change. Some of them don't grasp the reality of forgiveness, and that is a big one. And so they struggle with feelings of being unworthy. So often I come across believers who say, oh, I would love to pray for the sick. I would love to go out in the street. I would love to prophesy, but who am I? I'm so unworthy. And, you know, we don't understand forgiveness. Let me try to make it very plain and very clear. When God says, I forgive you, he robs himself of the ability to remember. Now, we can remember. I can remember all the bad things I've done. God cannot. He could if he wanted to, but he switched it off. He cannot. And so when we are confronted with our past, with our failures, with the places where we really messed up, it weakens us and we feel, oh, I'm not worthy of any of this. And we say to God, don't you remember the bad things I did? And he says, no, I don't. What are you talking about? I see you the way you are now. You are my son, you are my daughter, and you are clean, and you are worthy, and you are holy in my sight. And until we get this from here to here, we're always going to struggle. And so wherever, if you are in this place right now, find someone to pray with, find someone to talk to. Don't be stuck there. There is no reason to be stuck there, because his forgiveness is complete. There's no sin too great. There's no sin too small. Forgiveness is complete and perfect. If we ask for it, we can have it. Now comes the second step. Learning and belonging. And again, some of us had different experiences with that. I shared with you from at different occasions that when I was a young believer, I didn't really get a whole lot of instructions and teaching. I wish there had been someone that would have taken me by the hand and said, okay, I'm going to walk with you for a while. I'm going to show you. Follow me as I follow Christ. But there was no one there. But this is the time where we grow into maturity, but that only happens if we're integrated into a body of believers. A lot of people struggle with that statement. They don't really believe anymore that the church is relevant. So many people have come out and said, but I have my private, personal faith in God, and that's good enough for me. I don't need a church. I don't need an institution. I don't need anyone to tell me how to do this. I can do this myself. And they've totally missed the mark. They don't understand that we were never meant to do this alone. It doesn't work alone. Those of you that have tried, I think you found out by now, it doesn't work alone. The whole salvation experience, the whole discipleship experience, the sanctification, everything that the Bible talks about, we are meant to do with others. And so some of us may have find it hard to find a place to call home. And I have many stories about that, but I don't want to keep you too long. One day, after having been a Christian for quite a number of years, I met a group of people in Switzerland, of all places. And we spent a few days together, and I knew something had happened. I had come home. For the first time, I could say, now I know where I belong in the body of Christ. These people now happen to be Vineyard people, but that was before Vineyard days. So this is very precious. And I hope that those of you that are here and you consider yourself part of this fellowship, you feel that you have come home. If not, then it's okay to keep looking. It's okay to keep looking because you need to come home somewhere. Otherwise, this whole thing is not going to work. So what happens during that time is that we get some teaching and we experience community, fellowship. Hopefully we get some discipleship. And we learn to wrestle with the difficult things of our faith. What do you mean the first shall be last? What do you mean that leaders must be servants? I mean, everything is upside down in this kingdom that we call the kingdom of God. And there's so many things in the Bible that are so hard to understand. And so we wrestle with these things. And again, we need each other for that. The pitfalls, we can become too rigid and critical of others. I don't know what your experience is with church, but my experience has been that every church I've been part of thought they were the best. And they thought that their theology was right. And because of that, the other church's theology cannot be right because they don't believe exactly the way we do. And when we talk like that, we become judgmental and critical of others. And it took me many years to learn how much that grieves the Holy Spirit. We are not allowed to judge, period. God doesn't judge, not now. He will judge one day when we stand before him. All living and dead will rise and they will be judged. But right now, even God doesn't judge you. How can we dare to judge each other? So we need to help each other. When we come together and we talk and we start talking maybe bad about another church or about other Christians, somebody should lift their hand and say, let's not do that. Let's not talk like that. Oh yes, of course. Sorry. And then we realize what we've done. It's so easy to do that. So there's a pitfall that we become ingrown and critical and judgmental of others. We allow this wall to be built, kind of us against them, us against the other churches, and even worse, us against the world. And so we cut ourselves off from the world. Yes, we are separated from the world, but we still live in the world. How can we reach the world when we have no connection whatsoever with the people that live out there? And so this is a very, very, very grave pitfall. And another thing is an unhealthy codependency to church and its leaders. Some leaders enjoy their job so much, they control people, they manipulate people. Maybe you have your own personal story about that, and that's very sad when that happens. Yes, we need each other, and leadership is important, but in the end, we are accountable to God. And there are times when we must obey God rather than man. At the same time, I believe in respect for leadership because it is delegated by God. But there can be unhealthy relationships that can evolve if we are not careful. And if you study church history, you will find that there are many instances of that. Now we move on. Are you still with me? Okay. Serving. Now that we have learned something about this faith of ours, the idea is now that you do something with that. And so this is the time now where we try to be of help by serving. So we start to discover our gifts and are ready to use our talents, become responsible members of the church. The focus of our spirituality and faith is serving God and others. Now that all sounds very, very theoretical, because in reality, we don't always see that. I remember being part of a church many, many years ago when we were quite content when people did the first two steps. Of course, we want them to get saved. We want them to come to our church. But then if they come every Sunday, if they pay their tithe, then that was good enough. And if they come to prayer meeting, then they're saints. I mean, then they're really, really saints. And then we wondered why people left us. It's so nice here. Why are you going away? Well, I want to do something. I need to have an outlet for this faith. I want to serve, but there's no room here for me to serve, so I have to go elsewhere. We've only been now with this church for a few weeks, and I want to tell you how impressed I am of how well you've been trained and how well you're willing to serve. Almost everyone I see here is involved in some way, doing something. That is wonderful. But you also know that there are many churches where this is not the case. So keep that as a treasure and be thankful for it. Because, yes, the blessings of God are given to us so that we can give them away. That's the hardest and biggest lesson to learn. So now that we have built a relationship with God, and now that we have come to understand at least part of his teaching and faith to us, now is the time for us to give it away. And we do that by serving. So that means that we participate in church, we become generous, not just with money, we become generous with time, with our gifts, with everything we have. We become faithful to use the gifts that God has given us. And at some point, we all need to step in some kind of leadership role. Some people feel that they're not called to be leaders. I was one of them. I'm not what we call a born leader. I don't enjoy leading. I have to be pushed to lead. It's just part of my personality. It's not like something I strive to do. But I had to realize at one point that somewhere along the way, you and I, we need to lead another person. And even if you just lead one friend to the Lord and accompany him on his journey, you're a leader. If you get married, have children, guess what? You become a leader. So leadership is for all of us, but in different capacities. And so we need to grow into our role as leaders, whatever that may look like. That's something that you have to discover. Before we go to the pitfalls, there are a few things that are essential. In order for that to work, you need to have good relationships. There needs to be transparency and accountability. Again, I could tell you stories, heartbreaking stories of leaders in church not being transparent with each other. You come together for maybe some kind of national conference. You haven't seen each other for a long, long time. And hi, how is it going? Oh, hallelujah, the Lord is blessing. Everything is well. But through the grapevine, you hear that the church is falling apart and the marriage is not well and the children are not well. But we're not used to being honest and transparent with each other. And that's absolutely essential. And that's one thing I so much enjoyed when I was introduced to the Vineyard years ago. There was something that was real. We weren't trying to play games. And I hope to God that we can maintain that and keep that. So there needs to be a balance of activity and rest. I think we've all struggled with that. Many have become workaholics. We live in societies that pressure us, that push us to perform way beyond our limits. And sometimes it's so hard to find that balance of activity and rest. I could, again, have so many stories of people in ministry burning out and having terrible breakdowns because they were not able to manage that. And one thing that we should never forget is family always comes before church and ministry, because our family is our parish. Our family is our first priority. Everything else must follow. Now come the pitfalls. And now I think it becomes more relevant for some of us here in this room. We have no social life outside the church and ministry. We love to get together in fellowship. We love to meet in small groups. We love to hang out with our friends from church, but we don't have any friends outside the church. How are we going to reach them? How can they see our light? How can they become hungry for the kingdom if we don't even let them near? Because, hey, you're of the world. You're a sinner. I can't hang out with you. So that can become a huge problem that we need to address. Sometimes there's a focus on serving that is so strong that we lose our personal connection with God. Some years ago, I was contemplating on our situation there in Thailand, where we were working for 11 years, and I saw so many people so busy. And yet, when we started the house of prayer and we tried to get people involved for prayer, very few came forward and said, "I'll come and pray. It's just too busy with ministry, too busy with serving God." And that's when I personally learned the value of spiritual direction and of trying to find a lifestyle that is balanced. And so, I don't want to get started on that, because that's a very, very strong issue in my life. For instance, it's not enough to come and worship on Sunday. You and I are created to worship God. We must find an outlet and worship Him every day of our lives. Now, some of you don't like to sing. Worship is not just singing. There are many ways we can worship God. But you must find time each and every day to express your worship to God in some way. I've had my ups and downs when it comes to quiet times and devotional times. There were times when I read 10 chapters a day. There were times when I hardly read the Bible, and I had to find my balance to where I know this is what I need and this is what sustains me. But you need to find your balance. But it is not healthy, it is not good to be active, 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 even in the kingdom of God, and neglect your personal relationship with God. Because if you do, then the next step will be an emptiness, and you will start to feel resentful. I've met so many Christians that are cynical towards others. That you can just tell when they open their mouth, there's so much hurt, there's so much disappointment, that you wonder, why are they even still in church? And then comes exhaustion. Then you get really, really tired. And then comes a part that some of you have reached already. Some of you are going to reach eventually. Some of us hit it more than once. We call it hitting the wall. It's just coming to an end. You just feel like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. I'm just so tired. I have no energy. I have no inspiration. I feel alone. I feel let down. I feel neglected. Nobody loves me. And you just feel like, okay, like giving up. And I think we've all been there. And if you haven't, then chances are you'll get there sooner or later. Now, the problem is that most churches don't know what to do when that happens. They are very good at the first three stages, to get people saved, to disciple them, and maybe train them in positions of leadership. But when that happens, most leaders I know, including myself, we feel helpless. What do we do now? How do I help someone that is so burned out and so exhausted that they just don't know left from right? They don't even know if they want to be Christians anymore. And this is, I believe, where we have to play a role in the future of the church, in this city, in this nation. Something happens between 3 and the next step that follows that brings about a crisis. And there can be many things. I just have some examples. Of course, there's the thing called midlife crisis. I think it's a bit overrated, but there's a reality to it. Sometimes people lose their jobs. What now? Family crisis, burnout, or sometimes serious illness. And there could be many other things that can trigger this kind of breakdown. What I want us to understand is that this is not the end of the road. This is not the end of your journey. There is hope, and there is a way. And actually, believe it or not, sometimes God leads us to this wall so that he can break us, so that he can reassemble us, so to speak, and make us more useful for his kingdom and for his purpose. Not every negative thing that happens in our lives is the end of the road. Often it's the beginning of a better road. So what do we do? Sometimes people try to ride it out, meaning they ignore it. Just go on as usual. Just forget it. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going until they're really burned out. Others, they just don't want to deal with the pain. See, what God wants when this happens is that we turn to him. And if we don't learn that and we turn maybe to other things, then we have a problem. Then we have a disaster. And I've seen that again in leaders' lives who all of a sudden focus on things outside the church, trying to regain new inspiration and healing for their broken hearts. But we all know there's only one place to get your broken heart healed, and that is in the presence of God. Some completely drop out at this point. They step out of ministry, and they try to find other expressions of church, of faith. And again, many sad stories that prove that point, because they just don't know what to do. But if you've been well prepared in this first three steps that we talked about, conversion, belonging, training, serving, if you've been well prepared, then you're better prepared to deal with this when it comes. Because afterwards comes something very beautiful. Once you pass that point, comes a time of surrendering to the will and the love of God. And I have a personal story about that. We were already missionaries in Asia. We were in the Philippines. So I had been a believer for 15 years probably. And I was doing the best I could. And it was hard. But then one day, the church in Switzerland that sent us out, they sent me a series of tapes. That was the day when we still had cassettes. Remember? Anybody know what a cassette is? Yes. Very good. They sent me a box of cassettes for a conference that they had. And it was a conference by Ed Pierek. He's a vineyard guy from California. And it was all about the father love of God. And I put it in my player in the car, and I was listening to it driving along through the terrible traffic in Manila where you get stuck for hours and hours. And I listened to this, and all of a sudden the lights went on for me. And I had an experience with the father love of God that I had never had before. All of a sudden it just clicked for me how much the Father loves me and what it really means for me to surrender to that love. I had always known it up here, but then all of a sudden it went deep, deep down in my heart. And it was a fantastic experience. It was an experience, a physical and a spiritual experience. And it changed me from that day on, because I realized all of a sudden, hey, there's nothing I can do to make him love me more. And there's nothing I can do to make him love me less. He loves me just the way I am. Now, I had known that up here, but it became a reality. And it was so, so powerful. And it's been my anchor ever since. It's grounded me ever since, through hard times and good times, through mountains and valleys. You know what? No matter what, my position in him is secure. His love for me is perfect, and he will never withdraw it. I mean, once you get that in here, it changes everything. So this is a wonderful place to be, something for you to look forward to if you haven't reached it yet. Nobody's looking forward to hitting the wall, but believe me, it gets very beautiful beyond. So what happens is that you may have to pull back from Christian activity for a season. Some people call it taking a sabbatical, or some people call it something else. But sometimes it is necessary to step back and kind of regroup and to say, okay, what am I doing? God, what do you want me to do? What's the next step? And God begins stripping away old patterns relating to him. I could tell you so many things that God stripped away from me over the years that I didn't even know were bothering me. I have so many stories of God being merciful and reaching down and helping me to let go of some funny beliefs I had, of some strange things I was taught as a young believer that I just had to let go. For you folks that deal with computers, I had to reformat my hard drive. Anybody, you get that? Have you ever done that? It's a lot of work. You start all over again and install all your stuff. Well, that's what happened to me, and that's what needs to happen to us from time to time. Reformat. And so I've become, being critical, but I think about what I do, and I think about what we do as a church, and I ask the question, why? Why are we doing this? Does it have any spiritual or scriptural roots? Then by all means, let's continue. But if it's just some man-made thing that we copied from somebody else or that generations before us have done, then I have to ask myself, is this really necessary? Do I really want to do that? Do I really need that? And I think we need to do that from time to time. Look at your life. What do you do each and every day? And ask yourself the question, why? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And then ask the Lord for mercy to change. Ask Him for grace to change. Change is hard for any one of us, but it's essential. There are times we need to change the way we think, the way we act, the way we feel. And God will help us. After that period of brokenness, then all of a sudden, things come into focus once again. So He's restructuring our inner lives. We learn to listen, to trust, respond, obey. And then the nature of our relationship with God begins to change. He really becomes our daddy. He really becomes our closest friend. He really becomes our lover. He really becomes all that we need in this life. He becomes that for us. And that is such a release, because then you don't care what others think. You're not worried about being received well. You're not worried about, you know, being loved or respected, because no one can love and respect you like God the Father does. No one. So why try to get it from people? They don't do it that good. But God does it extremely well. And so I just want to challenge you, wherever you are right now, you're headed towards the wall. If you're not there yet, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Every leader is taken into the desert for a season. Everyone goes through phases in their lives where they feel now everything is falling apart. And if you have a good attitude and an open heart of expectancy, then you will find out that God is just getting ready. He's getting you ready for something very, very exciting in your life. There are some pitfalls. Sometimes, you know, we have what we call a pity party. We just get so self-absorbed and feel sorry for ourselves because life is just so tough. And some people never come out of that, especially if they're not part of the community. If they're alone, they just get stuck there. And that is the saddest thing I can imagine. Some of them are withdrawing from communal life because they find little support. I hope and pray that we will always be there for each other in this fellowship. That we can always look, see the person that is sitting by the wayside and say, come on, man, you can jump on my back for a while. I'll carry you for a while. I'm there for you. And so the greatest need is finding someone who has walked this road before. And this is something I want to offer to all of you. I'm here to walk with you. I probably can't do it with everyone in this room, but whoever comes first, you know how it goes. So if you need someone to walk with you, I'd love to do that. I know my wife, Kathy, she'd love to do that, because that is what we need. We need spiritual fathers and mothers. We need spiritual brothers and sisters. We need each other more than ever before. And I think that need is going to grow as we enter into this final stage of the battle of the kingdoms in this world coming to an end. The attacks will be stronger, and we need to be stronger in our love for each other. And as we do that, we will experience unity and harmony like never before. The result of that, are you still with me? Okay, almost done. The last one is convergence. It's basically where it all comes together. It's the point where everything meets. All the troubles in your life, everything that happens since you were a little child to this very day, it all comes together to this main purpose, and you realize, this is why I am in this world. This is what God has created me for, even before the foundations of this world. Now I get it, and I finally get to do it. And I tell you, there is no greater joy, there is no greater fulfillment in this life than coming to that place where things come together for you. And that's what God wants. That's his goal for you and for me. And he will, if you let him. So what happens there is that this formation takes us inside and then points us outside again. We know that Jesus had this great balance of solitude and yet outward focused ministry. We may or may not return to the activities that we did before, but now we do it with a grounded center. We know why we're doing it. You're not just singing in the worship team because they need you. You're singing in the worship team because worshiping God is your passion in life, and you can't help but sing to him. It changes everything. Everything that we do, once we realize I'm doing what I was created for, it becomes fun. It becomes fulfilling. And that's really what God wants for us. So this is the time when many of our gifts, our experiences, and the opportunities, they all come together. And then things like wrong motivations, self-promotion, become things of the past. So often we try to sell ourselves. Hey, I'm good at this. Take me, take me. It's kind of like in school. Remember when we had teams in sports and two guys got to pick their teams and we all went, pick me, pick me. Once you get to that point, it doesn't matter if you get picked or not. God already picked you. You're picked. You're called. So who cares what people think? I tell you, there's a relief and a release in that that is unexplainable. It's healing because all of a sudden you know you are on the right track. It's all about God. And we don't worry about personal success, comfort, our reputation, because we have a reputation in heaven. Do you know that? The angels are talking about us all the time. They know you. They know you by name. They watch you. And they applaud and clap when we do well, and they turn their head when we mess up. But they know us. They watch us. We have a reputation in heaven. And that is much more important than any reputation here on earth. So there you go, our journey. So I'm inviting you to, first of all, discover where you are. And maybe as I was talking, you found your place already. And you could say, yep, number two, that was me. Yep, number three. I can see that wall. I can see it. Thank God I'm not there yet. Some of you, you've hit that wall. And some of you actually, the Lord's telling me, some of you have hit it more than once. Don't be disheartened by that. It just means he has a really, really big job for you. And he needs to get you ready for that. And one thing I've learned, if you don't learn the lesson the first time, around we go. There's always another chance to learn it again. Just like in driving school. Remember, miss the first one? Well, there's always a second one, isn't there? God is gracious. Even when we are not ready to follow him, he'll give us another chance. So don't be afraid of the wall. And if you're there, write it out in a good way. Draw near to him, and he's going to turn this thing around for you. You will come out stronger on the other side. You'll become more usable than you've ever been before in your life. And you'll become the man and the woman that God has designed you to be from even before you were born. I'm going to just pray for us and ask the Lord, if you're not clear yet, Lord, show me where am I at? Now, I realize that sometimes these things overlap. Sometimes we may experience even two of them at the same time. This is not a law in itself. This is just a help. And as such, it's not perfect. You understand that. But I think you realize that we all go through these stages in one way or another. So, Father, I ask now that you would come by your Holy Spirit and you would open our eyes to the reality of where we are on this journey. Lord, we don't want to deceive ourselves. We don't want to live in a wrong understanding of who we are and where we are. But Lord, show us. Show us where we are and show us where we're headed. Lord, I pray for all those among us that feel lonely and neglected. I pray that they will find the courage to ask someone to walk with them. I pray that especially those of us that are a bit older, we would have open eyes to see those that need someone to walk with at this time in their lives. And then, Lord, I pray especially for those that are in the crisis right now. You have hit the wall, and maybe for the second or third time. Father, I ask that you would just come now with your Holy Spirit and speak comfort to their hearts. This is not the end of the road, but it's the beginning of something new if you allow him to take you through and if you allow others to come and help you along the way. So, Father, we invite you to move and work in our hearts. We are so grateful. We are so thankful that you're always there. And your love for us is perfect. We don't have to earn it. There's nothing we can do to make you love us more. We thank you for that, Father. Amen. We're going to close for today, officially. But I'd like to invite those of you that want prayer. Maybe you just want to spend some time at the cross and talk to the Lord. Do that. But if you want specific prayer relating to what we talked about, or maybe you need a physical touch in your body, we will always pray for the sick in this church. We will always pray for people that have a need. So please gather over here. And I'm sure there are some that will come help pray for you. So, Lord, we ask for your blessing for this week. We dedicate ourselves to you. We thank you that your peace will rule and reign in our hearts. Lord, we pray for open doors. We pray for protection. We pray for your Spirit to rule and reign in our hearts until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. So you are dismissed officially, but please stay behind if you would like ministry.